Support for Aspen Public Radio comes from Balcom & Green PC, a full-service law firm with offices in Glenwood Springs, Aspen, and Basalt, providing advice and solutions for their clients' legal needs throughout Western Colorado for more than 60 years. Learn more at balcomgreen.com.
Live from Aspen Public Radio, it's Valley Roundup. I'm Elizabeth Stewart-Severy. This week, the U.S. Forest Service accepted Aspen Skiing Company's ideas for the future of Aspen Mountain. The plans include new terrain, expanded snowmaking, and more summer trails. And this news comes as we learn that skier visits are down, not just in Aspen, but across the state. Snowmass Town Council is still grappling with questions about Base Village, and Pitkin County Open Space and Trails works on local food production and takes another tentative step toward a trail from Carbondale to Crested Butte. All that and more coming up on Valley Roundup. I am joined this week by an excellent group of journalists to put this all in context and give insights. Scott Condon, reporter for the Aspen Times, is on the phone. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
And in the studio here is Curtis Wackerly, editor of the Aspen Daily News. Hi, Curtis.
Good afternoon.
And Roger Merolt, columnist for the Aspen Times. Welcome, Roger.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you all for joining me. Let's start with some real ski town news. We've been hearing about SkiCo's plans for Aspen Mountain for it seems like forever, and this week the U.S. Forest Service accepted them, at least saying we're open to these projects. Scott and Curtis, what's up first?
Well, what's up first is they say they're going to actually apply for some of these, for the main parts of this program. Yeah, the master plan that was submitted, it's been in the works for, I'd say, at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the first update in 20 years to a document that they're required to update every so often to state what their kind of vision is for the ski area.
Yeah, and this, it's like big picture vision stuff. Mm-hmm. So we know that one of the first things that SkiCo wants to do is expand into the Pandora's area. And Scott, you've covered this quite a bit. What could that look like?
Well, so they're talking about adding 153 acres. It would be to the skier's right of Walsh's Trail, the existing Walsh's Trail. And the master plan talks about how the top one-third of that terrain is relatively steep, and then the bottom two-thirds is got a more gentle grade. They would figure out a route so that intermediate skiers could get in there and use that gladed terrain, a combination of gladed terrain and trails. And, you know, it's an area that a lot of skiers and riders already go to. It's in that so-called side country area. So there's quite a few people that are acquainted with it already, and looks like Aspen Skiing Company wants to make it more of a formal part of the ski area.
When I think about Walsh's, it's expert terrain, but this is going to be primarily intermediate terrain. This is like expanding options for intermediate skiers.
That's the part, yeah. I don't really get.
I think it's quite low angle. Is that right? Have you skied back there, Scott?
Yeah, a handful of times. Rogers and Curtis have probably skied there more, but yeah, I mean, you know, right in the master plan, it does talk about how that the upper one third of the elevation, you know, so imagine a run, you know, trail of the length of Walsh's and down another 1,500 feet. And they're talking about the upper third of that, yes, would be expert terrain. Then the lower two-thirds would be more intermediate.
So are they going to run that out below where you catch Ludd's Lane at the bottom of Walsh's, right, now on out onto the
You'll
flats?
Just keep going down. You'll descend below Ludd's Lane another. And I'm guessing, I think the majority of the vertical is what you ski on Walsh's, right?
Absolutely. It gets really gentle down below Ludd's Lane. It kind of runs out of steeps.
Okay.
It will also be interesting to see how they get skiers from the top of the gondola out there. Because right now, I mean, it's uphill. It's up Richmond Ridge, right? Well, they have to change. How will skiers from the top of the gondola access that terrain?
I envisioned a little cross to the skier's right where you just take a little trail as you leave the road to get into Walsh's now. I envisioned a little
kind of a traverse.
Trail, a traverse through the trees there. That's what I think, but I don't know that for sure.
I mean, the bottom line is that this is some pretty well-loved side country terrain for the people who go there. Now, granted, the numbers aren't huge. They're mostly, you know, sort of hardcore local skiers going back there. But it's a very, you know, it's a pretty iconic area for that set. And that's why I kind of say I don't understand how they're going to turn it into intermediate terrain. I mean, it's still pretty kind of steep through the trees. So they say they're going to. There's going to be a lot of development back there. It'll certainly change.
Yeah, and I would imagine it depends on how much glading or clearing of trees there is, right?
Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder, too, if they're going to manage it like they do Bingo Glades and Rayburns and some of those runs where they keep it closed a lot of the year, and then when it snows, they open it up.
That's a good question. I mean, it's roughly half and half gladed versus developed ski trails where it's, call it what it is, it's a clear cut. So I'm sure some of it maybe will be managed like that, while other parts of it will just be there's a portion of that master plan, which is a fascinating document, talks about how they think they might have to buy another groomer. And when I brought that up to Jeff Hanley, the spokesman, he's like, I'm not so sure about that. So maybe not all of it has been totally vetted. You kind of get that sense because it's such an expansive document. There's so many things in there. I mean, it really is a wish list
totally.
In a lot of ways, as Scott said in his story.
Yeah, that's how Rich Berkeley explained it to me. It's like we want to put everything that we might want in the next however many years. And like you said, Curtis, it's been 20 years since this document's been updated. Mm-hmm. And even then, not everything from the 1997 master plan has been implemented now.
Half of this is just a retread of the 1997 master plan, if not more of it.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like a part that really kind of rose to the forefront was the expanded snowmaking. They want to add 50 acres of snowmaking capability that would go from where the existing system ends on up to the top of the mountain. And
well, boy, that's a necessity.
Prime example of why they're looking at that.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been in the meeting in 1978 or whenever they planned the snowmaking system and they're like, yeah, we don't need to go above chair 3. It's always going to snow up there, right? That had to have been the thinking, don't you think?
Yeah.
I bet it was.
It is interesting to think that you can't open top to bottom skiing because the part you can't open is the top of the mountain. Seems counterintuitive. So, Scott, do you know what kind of what exactly that means for snowmaking? Is that about an extra third of their capacity, or what will that take?
Yeah, I think they want to add 50 acres, and I think right now they can make snow and half the mountain to about 172 acres on the lower two-thirds of the mountain. And I think the master plan talks about the expanded system would cover 1 and 2 leaf, silver bell, dipsy doodle, buckhorn, and North American.
Okay. Aspen Mountain snowmaking runs off of the city water supply. Will they have to find somewhere to store more water?
Yeah, they're going to build two, or they want to build. They'll need all these things need site-specific approvals from the Forest Service. We want to be clear about that just because the Forest Service accepted this document, it does not mean it is formally signed off on any of these projects. They're going to have to go through a process for each one where all this stuff will be hashed out in great detail, I'd imagine. But it did say they want two additional basically storage ponds for this snowmaking. Another pump house station would have to be built as well. Do you remember, Scott, did they say that would be right next to the Gents Ridge Pond is where they would put that pump house?
Yeah, I believe so.
So there would be a pond there, and then they would put another pond by the Midnight Ski Run, which is kind of, sort of by the Buckhorn Cabin, if I have my trails right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's where the second pond might go.
That's what I thought I read.
That's interesting. I did a tour of this area last spring, and Rich Berkeley pointed out Lushine's Pond. Roger, you must know that.
Yeah, that's back. If you got to Lud's Lane, you would go to your right. It would be uphill for a skier, and there'd be no reason to go there. But that's to the east of the existing open terrain.
Okay. Now, Curtis, as you mentioned, just because these concepts are in the plan, they still need approval. There's a lot of work that would still need to happen for all these things to come through. One of the things that was in this 1997 plan that we still haven't seen is a new lift at 1A. That's still a holdover. Mm-hmm. What do you think it would take what's it going to take? We know there's a lot kind of wrapped up in 1A in that lift. What's it going to take to see that move forward?
Well, that's more of a political process with the Aspen City Council than it has to do with the Forest Service or even necessarily the ski company. They had an extensive meeting this week, a work session before the council, where you had Rich Berkeley from the ski company there. You had representatives of two hotel developers who want to develop that side of town. And it all, you know, they all have to work together to come up with a plan if they want to change the location of the bottom terminal of the lift, which is what a lot of people are pretty interested in doing. And, you know, the ski company said we can live with a couple, you know, these two different scenarios. We could live with either one. You know, you guys need to figure out which one it's going to be. There's a great debate about whether or not to have in effect, a midway loading station, although calling it a midway is a total misnomer since it would only be about 500 feet, about a block and a half up the hill from the very bottom. And there was all this heartburn. It was like an hour discussion about whether or not to even study this because, A, it's only 500 feet, and B, having to park another – it's basically another chairlift loading area in what's already a very constricted site.
Yeah, it's a lot of equipment.
The ski co was pretty against even thinking about that because that's going to make what's already a tough job a lot harder.
Well, plus my understanding is that it's possible that the new Lift 1A could extend beyond the top of what is Lift 1A right now. And there's been talk of a midway station at that point to access a newly renovated Ruthie's restaurant.
Well, that was in the plan. This was one of the parts of the plan I thought was interesting was the discussion of Ruthie's. And if you go back to the 1997 plan, there was some talk of wanting to turn Ruthie's into a place where you could have nighttime events. Mm-hmm. And that apparently at the time was very controversial. This was before the Sun Deck. So one of the main components of the 97 plan was the Sun Deck. And so that got put in, and they really had to kind of crawl, walk, run into having evening events there. The county commissioners, you know, wanted a full report on how much light pollution was going to result from this. and I think we're a little more comfortable with that concept now. So now they're talking about, again, revitalizing Ruthie's, possibly having some nighttime events there. And they want to put overnight cabins. That's like one of the only things in here that's totally new.
Right. So that would be like a, they said, 10th Mountain Division huts type experience for people who can't get out into the backcountry.
Right.
Scott, are they looking at this in Snowmass too? I was thinking that.
Yeah. In fact, I think they've been approved in Snowmass. I mean, approved in the master plan anyway. I don't think it's gone through the NEPA review yet. But yeah, I think it's something they're definitely looking at Snowmass.
Right. Now, Roger, I'm going to come back to this. You wrote a column last week in defense of parking lots, and I'm going to quote from your column. It says, basically, buildings are not a good investment unless they earn their keep by being occupied continuously and producing steady rental income. I can't help but think of the base of 1A.
It was a tongue-in-cheek column, but the more I think about it, the better I like the idea. And I think it would be something that would be good for locals. It would be, I'm sure they could make lots of money at it, and just a lot less headache than operating a hotel.
Does this go valley-wide, or at least ski area-wide?
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing a lot of development at the base of ski areas.
Yeah. And less and less parking, and one of the most valuable commodities in Aspen is parking close to something you like to do, and if you really want to revitalize 1A, put a parking lot up there, and then everybody would go there.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the master plan that the Aspen Skiing Company submitted just talks about, well, you know, parking's not really an issue.
Yeah, it's an afterthought.
And existing parking within the city of Aspen can handle it, but you know, from what I've seen, and Curtis, you might know more about this on a regular basis, but the other day I tried to park in the parking garage and that was full. So yeah, I don't know, are we headed toward a day skier parking issue, and is Roger on to something?
Well, it's hard to tell judging by this year alone, but since they've eliminated most of the parking up at 1A, that place is really dead.
Well, part of the problem is that none of the runs are open except for the strip with the man-made snow.
But if you make a conscious decision to go up 1A, you have to park pretty far away from the
Listen. It definitely cuts off the you know the the access to that portal,
yeah,
which I suppose is even greater incentive to bring the lift down to Dean Street. So you have some parking again.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back to more parking issues in just a moment. Listening to Valley Roundup live from Aspen Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Stewart-Severy, and giving us the backstory today are Curtis Backerly, editor of the Aspen Daily News, Scott Condon, reporter for the Aspen Times, and Roger Marolt, columnist for the Aspen Times. Roger, you're in the hot seat right now because we're talking about your idea of coming back to parking lots, your defense of parking lots. Parking lots instead of buildings. And regarding Bays Village, you wrote, had they simply smoothed out an area to park 500 cars at the bottom of that popular ski area, many people would yet be unfamiliar with bankruptcy proceedings.
I wrote that, huh? And if you think about it, the Bays Village project, it's been a disaster for 10 years. It's added nothing to Snowmass Village and nothing to the ski area. It's still the biggest reason I hear people citing for not skiing Snowmass is the parking and getting to the mountain and whatnot. So if they actually had built a parking lot there and charged $20 a day, I think they'd be well ahead of the game.
Where would they be on the balance sheet right now?
I think Snowmass Village would have been a better place if they had done that 10 years ago.
Well, and it seems like maybe it would be further along.
Oh, for sure it would be further along. It would be finished.
Completed. So this week we heard Snowmass Town Council talk a lot about several of the buildings that are set for a soon-ish completion, or mm-hmm. at least were originally meant to be completed rather soon. Mm-hmm. Building 6 is the one that's meant to be a community space.
Right.
So right now that started as, let's put some of the bones here for the Discovery Center. And it seems like we've taken a few steps away from that. And at this point, Grassroots and a few other organizations are kind of trying to revive something that sounds a little bit like the power plant proposal in Aspen to me.
Yeah, it's. I don't think anybody's clear on what the proposal is. And I've always looked at that building. It's supposed to be a community amenity. And they're saying it's worth $6 million. So my question is, if that building were for sale for $6 million, would the town of Snowmass Village go out and buy it for $6 million without a real plan for doing anything with it? And I don't think they would. So the question is, they own it. Why not sell that and raise the $6 million and you know, leave that to somebody else who can establish a restaurant or a bar or a retail establishment and actually knows how to run it there and add vitality to what desperately needs vitality.
What about the need for a community space in Snowmass? Is that something that's...
I think there could be. The thing that I always liked is when they were talking about putting something like the Aspen Institute or a real venue where they could have live music and shows and conferences and things like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And that actually would be a community amenity out there. And for a while, Harry Teague was talking with Anderson Ranch, and they were kind of behind something like that. And, you know, nothing came of that. So,
but isn't there an attachment to having an actual physical space? I mean, I know it's tough, and, you know, this city council in Aspen has you know, gotten some egg on its face plenty of times trying to do this to, you know, to program something that is going to be for the betterment of the community. But that's still something that like people want in the abstract a lot, probably more than $6 million going to the town's general fund, you know, would do for anyone.
Well, if they had a plan like that, a 250-seat theater, mm-hmm. you know, multi-purpose theater, a community area, I think that would be excellent. And that way, Snowmass Village could partnership with some of the organizations that are based in Aspen. The Aspen Ideas Fest could have things out there, and the Music Festival could have things out there, and the Film Festival could have things out there. You know, I just think that would tie the two communities together better and actually be a community benefit.
It does seem to me that a lot of what we're talking about this week deals with, like, what is the identity of a ski town or of a mm-hmm. ski mountain, or kind of like, how do we figure out who we are through the development that we choose? And that's nothing new, but where do the bones belong? I mean, isn't that part of, and I'm kind of partial to the bones.
The bones are a cool thing. I don't know how many resources you can devote to that, and I don't know how it affects tourism and even the locals. I mean, all the locals have seen those bones when they first came out of the ground, and it was really cool. But I don't think you get a lot of repeat visitors to go up there and look at.
Roger, maybe you could have like a carport in your parking lot, and you could put the bones in there.
It would need to be very tall.
Yeah, I actually wanted to make soup out of some of those bones and sell it.
But... Mastodon soup.
In Aspen, skier visits are down. Actually, statewide skier visits are down. Scott, you reported on this. Seems like it's not a terrible surprise, but what are we seeing?
If I remember correctly, statewide, with the members of Colorado Ski Country USA, which is a state trade association, they were down 13%, I believe.
Yeah.
And Aspen Skiing Company reported their skier visits cumulatively at the four ski areas were down 19.5% through December compared to the same period last year. The interesting thing was Aspen Mountain was actually up from last year. They didn't release a percentage of what it was up, but even with less terrain open, you know, with a limited amount of terrain open, they still saw an increase. So that kind of tells you what a lot of people have been saying, that conditions on Aspen Mountain have been pretty crowded for parts of this year so far.
You know what I found interesting about those numbers that Ski Company released about skier visits being down? They're usually so guarded and so tight mm-hmm. about those numbers that I was a little surprised that they came out and said that, and maybe it's to drum up support.
Well, they've always come out with the percent change.
Mm-hmm.
They've historically given the media and the public that number. What they haven't done is told you what the actual skier visit tally is. I point out that that's one great thing about the master development plan, is it gave you the actual skier number figures for 10 years only for Aspen Mountain, not for the Forest Service.
Roger, I think Colorado Ski Country takes the lead in releasing them three times during the season, once after December for the first third of the year, and then another time for the second period, which is January, February, and then at season's end.
It is.
And Ski Company traditionally will say what they are doing at that same time.
Okay. It seemed like something new to me. Has Ski Company been a part of Ski Country USA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Vail Resorts dropped out a few seasons ago, and different thoughts on marketing and what Colorado Ski Country should be doing, but Aspen Skiing Company has been in it for quite some time. I think maybe back in the day of Bob Maynard, when he was president and CEO of Aspen Skiing Company, I think he might have threatened to pull out for a while, but I don't think he ever did.
Now, Scott, this is a subject change, but I'm interested, as we think about like how we figure out who we are through the developments that we choose in this valley. Pickens County's Open Space and Trails Department, as you can hear in the name, is typically focused on open spaces and trails. And this past week, they've talked quite a bit about agriculture in the valley and identified Emma as, like, you. I think the headline of your article on this was Emma as the new breadbasket of the Roaring Fork Valley. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is Pickens County Open Space and Trails looking at here?
Yeah, they've got, two of the parcels, I believe, are close to 40 acres. Do you think that's right, Elizabeth? Do you remember?
I'm not totally sure off the
top of
my head.
Yeah, there's a parcel right beside the Emma Schoolhouse, and then there's another parcel that's kind of adjacent to that.
Right.
And subject to the Pickens County Commissioner's approval, Open Space and Trails is recommending that they lease that out to Two Roots Farm, a couple of young farmers in the valley who are very devoted to, you know, creating a good organic vegetable and produce farm. And they would like to start a larger operation, starting, you know, like with starting small with 4 acres or so. And their application talks about getting some type of barn on the Emma property where they could kind of process and wash their veggies.
And that's
so that's
of
a whole process that's going to go to the Emma caucus, and then it would go through the regular abbreviated review process with the Pickens County Commissioners. But I guess what Open Space and Trails Board of Trustees is really excited about is, you know, Emma was the heart of a portion of the valley's food production at one time, along with Roger's predecessors up in the Aspen area. And so they just want to see some of that land that's still open and still has been used for hay production and pasture land. They want to see that go back into, you know, more use.
Now,
and they've got quite a bit of holdings in the Emma area, and they just see that as a prime place where they can get young farmers started.
You're
also seeing that at Lazy Glen property, the Lazy Glen Open Space, which is just across the river and up valley from Lazy Glen Mobile Home Park.
Right. So the Mid-Valley, there's been quite a bit of resistance to housing development, things like that. What is the reaction in the Mid-Valley? Have we heard much about how people are feeling about this?
Not yet. I mean, I think it's too premature. I think it's still has got to go before the Emma caucus before you really can gauge what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, there has been opposition to housing in the Mid-Valley, but it wasn't very effective in the case of the tree farm.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, you know, Eagle County's reviewing their, taking another look at their master plan to see if the places where they've spelled out as appropriate for housing development, if that's really what people still want today.
But isn't this an interesting dynamic of our valley, that we have all these parcels that if it wasn't for a robustly funded open space program would probably have fallen into the hands of private developers and be built into housing developments or who knows what else. And now we're talking about leasing them to young farmers for $25 an acre.
Right. And that's what I think some of the board of Pickens County Open Space and Trails argued at their meeting was, this is actually greening the highway corridor that's seen mm-hmm. some pretty heavy development in the past, I don't know how long, quite a long time. So is this a question of who the Mid-Valley is, or is this sort of just a, how do we sustain some local farmers? What exactly is the question that we're looking at here?
You know, I think for Pickens County, I think, yeah, they're looking at how can we sustain young farmers and a renewed sustainable agriculture. It's interesting how you've got, you know, just in a stretch of probably 5 miles, you've got Pickens and a little sliver of Eagle and then Garfield.
Right.
And if you're driving to Aspen, you know, you've got increasing development in Garfield. You've got the potential for
kind of development
all
the way.
Hefty development in Eagle County if you combine what Basalt's
right.
done in Willits.
Scott, sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off there because we are out of time. Sorry. You've been listening to Valley Roundup live on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Stewart-Severy with Roger Merolt, Scott Condon of the Aspen Times, and Curtis Wackerly of the Aspen Daily News. Thanks for listening.